God, that you will continue the work that you've started in our hearts, and Father God, in so many hearts this week, Father God. There were so many churches involved, and Father God, we thank you for the almost 1,200 people that got saved over London this week. Father God, you've been faithful. You said that you will do it, and Father, you've done it. And oh God, we pray for every seed that was sown, that it will be to your glory, and God, that it will germinate and produce much fruit. We celebrate you, Jesus. You are, as we sang this morning, beautiful. Your name is beautiful. Your face is beautiful. You are amazing. You transform our lives, and so we go forth and change others. We thank you this morning that we can just exalt you in this place. We can again say thank you for the cross and for what you've done on the cross for each one of us, and the privilege of being partakers of your marvelous work. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Just turn to the person next to you and say, you look beautiful this morning. Okay, I want to quickly share with you, you know, I'm really encouraged after this week. It was beautiful. I think there was in this hub, which, you know, we were only a small bunch of people actually in this Merton area, but it was beautiful to work together with a few churches here in Merton area. And, you know, I think, am I correct to say that there was at least 10 people saved over this week, which, you know, is amazing. I must say, I'm so blessed to follow it, the people up this week. We've already started, and just to trust God to keep on doing this. I would encourage you not to be afraid, but to step out and do what Christ has called us to do, to go out and reach the nations. Amen. Matthew chapter 17. Okay. Are you still awake this morning?
Amen.
Leonard, well done. You are looking bright on your birthday today. We are celebrating with you. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 9. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him, and you might ask this morning, after 6 days of what? And we'll get to that just now. Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There's a lot of talk about what or which mountain that was, a place of consecration, a place of God meeting with the disciples, Peter, James, and John. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And he was still speaking when behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, almost as a response to Peter's suggestion, this is my beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, listen to this now. Are you still with me? This morning you must stay with me in this story. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. My question to you this morning is, do you also see no one but Jesus only? And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. So I don't know about you, but sometimes we actually, you know, listen to people's stories and we think, you know, would it not be amazing to have been there? You know, I was watching Margot and Ian's Facebook this week and I thought, yo, listen, Those of you that don't know, they've been in Turkey, okay? So it's all these amazing swimming photos, and I was looking at them and I thought, yoh, it would have been amazing to just lie in those big swimming pools that they are busy enjoying themselves. Okay, it's again now just the pastor I see in this house that envies things like that. But maybe it's a summer sale. You know, summer is gone. For those who don't know, this was the last of it this week. We're going to go into a time of hibernation. Okay. But, you know, maybe it's a summer sale. You see somebody... you know, buying something and you think, yuck, did I miss that opportunity? You know, did I, if I was just awake, I could have bought this amazing deal. Or some of you might even think of it as a new job, you know. You're listening to all of the people getting breakthroughs. Laura, amazing job. And, you know, it looks like four times the salary. And, you know, all... And you think, oh, you know, it's amazing if I can only be there, if I can only experience that. And this morning, maybe I should also ask you, you know, is that the same with your Bible reading and praying toward God? Sometimes we feel, if I could only be there. You know, we read the stories of these amazing men of God, seeing seraphims and, you know, hearing the voice of God. And here is these three men that was not for the first time, but the third time experiencing this amazing, you know, encounter with God. And then you think, oh God, that's maybe not my experience until now. I so wish to be there, to be at a place where I can have an encounter with you, where I can see you face to face, and you can really reflect yourself on me. And this morning, I've got good news for you, because we're going to discuss it. We already have the privilege of a divine encounter in our relationship with Jesus. And I, this week, was just so blessed seeing Jesus and experiencing Him, reaching out to people that are broken, that sometimes don't want to talk to you, they don't want to have a conversation about religious stuff. I'm not a religious person. Some guy said to me yesterday, I said to him, so, you know, God loves you, and He's got a very special plan for your life. And he says, yes, you know, it's fine, I only speak to Him anyway when I am in trouble. So at least He is very honest. But my experience here with these three disciples being with Jesus is that this was not an ordinary meeting. This was not just a place of meeting with Jesus where they can afterwards say that it was just another opportunity to spend time with Jesus. This was actually a time where they heard the audible voice of God. And this was also not the first time, because the three of them, strangely enough, had the opportunity to do so with Jesus once, with a daughter of, a little girl of somebody that asked Him to come and pray for healing. And then also we know of the encounter in Gethsemane, the encounter where the three of them had to stay awake and they could not. And this time around, before Jesus, you know, transfigured, it comes to a place where they now experience this divine encounter, a God encounter in their lives. And so, you know, the amazing thing of it is, and we know that in the past, in the Bible, there's so many examples of how that manifestation of God took place. You know, sometimes in a cloud, sometimes it was an audible voice of God. But this time around, it was a little bit different, because this was a time where God set it apart to exalt Jesus from just being an ordinary man on earth to be God. And so that everyone would understand why Jesus came to earth. Now, this is an important thing for these three disciples to understand, because at the time, we know that, you know, these other encounters that was experienced through Elijah and Moses. We know at Mount Sinai, Moses having, you know, the opportunity to commune with God, and later on even, you know, getting the laws from God. And then there's a shaking, and there's clouds, and there's a mighty roaring of God's thundery voice. And then we also see how even Elijah would stand on the same Mount Horeb and then experience God in the still, small voice. So the question would be, why at this time would Jesus, just before he would go to the cross, meet up with Elijah and Moses and then have an encounter with them and these three disciples with him? And my answer to you today is, it's all about Jesus. The fact that God wanted to exalt him to such a place that they would experience him shining forth, not just a light, but the light coming from him. Listen to this. Augsburger says, authentically his own, when Jesus was transfigured before them, he became what he really was, and they had the veil removed for a few moments to experience a revelation of the true Jesus. This experience was meant to point to Jesus. And, you know, this was to point out that it was not just another prophet. It was not just, you know, another person. But this was God's only beloved Son. And we see that these two prophets being with Jesus, God is making a clear distinction that he's not the prophet that brought the word, the scriptures to the table. He's not the God that brought the prophet that communicated through prophecies. But he's the greatest prophet, Jesus, that represented God himself. And in that exaltation, God speaks to his to Peter, and Peter still wanted to, in the flesh, react in a way that would actually exalt himself and his own plans. And Jesus rebukes him. Listen to Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir over all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Later, Peter interpreted this event, and he wrote in 2 Peter 1 verse 16, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. It's amazing that at this time, Peter, there was a good reason for the timing of which Jesus said, don't share this with anybody until my death comes. We know that it was also important for his disciples to not reveal it to the people while Jesus was going to the cross, because that would have made people confused about this king that is busy dying on behalf of people and without any power, while he was reaching out to God and having thus amazing encounters in the context of Israel's history, meeting up with prophets like Moses and Elijah. And yet, here he comes to be slaughtered on a cross. And Jesus says to them, don't reveal this until my death comes. And so, we know that afterwards it made sense. But what do we do with this meeting that God had with them? Could it have been, you know, just a response to a divine encounter that, you know, you and I can tell one another this morning that, you know, walking in the streets of London, we experience God and we keep it for ourselves. And one thing that I know is when we encounter with God, it changes our actions. Because Peter's first response was, let's go to action. Let's build something. Let's do something significant here. Because Jesus, whatever is happening here on this mountain, we must make sure to eternalize this here on earth. This is quite a divine moment because the promises was that, you know, Elijah would come and then the Messiah, and Elijah will come before the Messiah. And this is a prophetic truth toward establishing the Messiah in this time. And yet, Jesus reached out to him and he explains to him, do nothing because, you know, this is not my timing. Sometimes we as Christians find ourselves, you know, trying to do stuff for Jesus, trying to do so many things, and we miss out on actually waiting on him and hearing his voice so clearly. Because when you encounter God, your actions start to change. And there's a time to do things, but if the doing prevents us from listening to Jesus, we must rather stop it. I want to say to you this morning, some of us always are just on the run, and we never get to sit down and ask God, God, why do I just action the whole time and I never encounter you in such a way that you transform my life? And my wish is this morning that we will reflect on a season where God, you know, clearly is doing beautiful things in our midst, and we must know that these encounters are only amazing if it draws us back to the face of Jesus. If it draws us back to the reason why we are doing these things. An encounter with God on the mountain is only significant if it brings our focus back to, and our actions even back to, a place where we can surrender to his will in our lives. So, a divine encounter involves something we cannot control. God rebuked Peter's plan to control the situation by doing, and he said to him, my will be done. In chapter 16, the same Peter even rebuked Jesus, and he said to Jesus, Jesus, you will not go into Jerusalem and die. And Jesus said to him, Peter, you don't understand my ways. And he rebuked him and he said, You are rebuked. Get away from me, Satan. Because Jesus wanted him to understand that my timing and my will is different than you can ever imagine. So this morning, all that I want to stir in our hearts is a conversation of, do you really know this Jesus? Or are you only running toward where his hand is moving and what he is establishing in and through your life? And are you always like, you know, the Pharisees, looking for a sign or something that Jesus is doing in and through your life before you can actually acknowledge him being present? Because we can become encounter seekers and miss the heart of Jesus. He has a plan to journey with you. He's got a heart not just to see people saved, but for our hearts to be transformed, to conform to his heart's desire. Is that when we reach people, I was so blessed on Friday when I saw, or Saturday, I can't even remember, the one scripture or word that Margot has put on Facebook, just of, you know, do you really sincerely love people? Because, you know, people can become objects even in reaching if you don't have the heart of Jesus. If you don't face this Jesus that is not just a divine entity in our lives, but a reality, a real friend. Doing wrong sometimes shames us and separates us from Jesus. And so our actions shame us and we avoid him even in our doing. Because when we encounter him, we are too afraid that that will lead us to a confrontation about where we are really at with him. And so I see many times in our lives, and I'm including myself this morning, that we rather you know, avoid seeing his face when we are not in a good state with him, because it's better not, it's better to avoid the confrontation of admitting that we are wrong. And so when we when we experience him, when we see Jesus, he starts to impact our actions. The other thing that happens when we encounter him divinely is he changes our focus. Is the light of Jesus, transfiguration was not just amazing when they saw now the amazing things happening with a cloud and Jesus shining and him being glorified as the state in which he was before he came to earth and also will be when we see him one day. But you know when they started to really fear and tremble? Is when they heard God's voice. This is my beloved son. Then they fell in fear and trembling. Remember, for the Jews, it was also an understanding that when you see the face of God, you die. So they had this holy respect and understanding that when God speaks to you, you will not be able to even withstand his presence. I want to say to you this morning, part of as seeking his face is a holiness that will bring us back to the true identity of who God really is. An understanding that we cannot casually be around God if we want to see him face to face. There's a encounter that you and I experience when we see his face that transforms our focus back to who really Jesus really is. One thing that I want to say to you this morning, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a face for God. But in the New Testament, the amazing thing is Jesus was the face of God. And we have that face. When we read his Bible, when we experience him every day, we've got a face of God that we can relate to. Somebody that can speak into our lives, that are willing to change and transform us. But it brought them to a place where even Jesus encouraged them, don't be afraid. Psalm 27 verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing I've asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Psalm 27 verse 14. I loved Psalm 27. Go and read it this week again. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. You know, David was a praying man. David knew how to sit in the fields and pray endlessly to God. But this Psalm 27 is not speaking of David's ability even or his desire to pray to God about things that's happening around him. And it's a place of surrender where he's actually just surrendering to the presence of Jesus in his life or of God in his life. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. We spend too little time facing the face of Jesus. I'm so convicted this week about just the way in which he can transform us if we can surrender to a place where he can become such a reality to us. Our focus must come back to him being the solution, him being the only one that matters in our lives. Reading his word brings us to see him clearer. We know that, you know, Moses was preparing Joshua for the promised land. And, you know, for me, the focus was so beautiful. The focus was not the desert, but the focus was, let me prepare you for what you're going to face in the promised land. My message to you this morning is sometimes we are on the mountain. We're busy coming down the mountain and the reality faces us that we're not going to be able to keep the tent on the mountain and keep Moses and Elijah there and keep God's presence intact. But we must go down and face the people at the bottom. Because when Jesus ascended downwards, lots of people again came for ministry. And he had to again start to face the realities of everyday struggles in this life. And this was why Peter even more so would say, let's just stay on this mountain. This moment must stay like it. I want to say to you, encountering Jesus is amazing, but things don't stay the same when we encounter him, because we are able to actually go down the mountain and start to face the everyday things. And I'm going to read to you just now how amazing the follow-up was with these disciples. And the third thing that I want to mention about when we encounter Jesus is he changed our hearing. When the disciples got up from their prone position, the Bible tells us they saw no one except Jesus. They could focus on only Jesus. Daily, as we live in our relationship with Jesus, we live in a divine encounter with him. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 John 4, 15. If anyone acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him. Listen to this. God lives in him and he is in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Hebrews 3, verse 12 to 14. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily. As long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin of deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. Let's just quickly stand. I want to just bring us to the last thing when we encounter Christ. Meeting with him change even our confidence. Matthew 17 verse 14 speaks of it. It says, and when they came to the crowd of men, and this was now just after this encounter on the mountain. They came down the mountain and here they faced the reality again. And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him said, Lord, have mercy upon my son, for he seizes and he suffers terribly. For after he falls into the fire and often into the water, and I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to here, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you. Whew! This is a tough one. You know what was amazing for me this week? Going out with people that are seasoned and, you know, have done it so many times before, to trust God, to bring people in from the streets and also pray for them and see healing, is when you observe them, you see how confident they are because they have spent time with Christ. And they have encountered him in such a way that, you know, they can trust that He will do it again. My desire is that we will enter into that place where He transforms us in such a way that we will have the ability to step out and see people getting saved, getting healed, getting transformed. That society will not be the same. One of the words that went out this week is that Wimbledon will have a physical manifestation of the change that the gospel will bring to it. Shops will even be named biblical names because of the manifestation of Christ in this area. And I want to grab it. I want to say, God, if Jesus start to encounter with people in this area, even though we don't see revival yet, one thing that I know is when seeds start to penetrate the hearts of men, a physical manifestation of the presence of Jesus will take place in this area. Wimbledon will experience the blessing of a Jesus that transformed lives. And in some ways, we could say that if we long to have an encounter with God, like the disciples had upon the mountain, we long for something we have. Because we've got the face of Jesus. We know how He looks. 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in a triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. You know, it was beautiful. Renier, thanks for that example. I'm stealing it from you this morning. Renira talking to the people at the training this week, just telling them, you know, when you pass Lush, the smells that you get, I don't know if you know that shop Lush in town, it's these bath bombs, eh? Is that Renira? When you pass it, you smell it. So we passed it on Saturday as well, and, you know, I smelled and I said, yeah, no, Renira's right, you know, I can... I can recognize that. It's it's beautiful when Jesus starts to transform us, that we have the ability to be the sweet fragrance to people around us. And I'm just excited to have more of Jesus. Stand before Him and say, Jesus, I want to have You. Let's just pray to Him this morning. And my desire is that, and we're going to pray for one another now, is verse 8. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Is that we would walk out of this place and that we will see Jesus only. That we will understand, like those disciples, that it's so significant because they can speak about it afterwards. You know, it's amazing that Peter could come to the realization afterwards to share it and say, this is not small stories. I can testify because I've experienced it in a manifestation of Jesus with even the other prophets. Father, we come to You this morning. And we as a church want to ask You, Father, that Jesus will be our focus again. That Jesus will be the only thing that we live for, the reason why we stand up in the morning, the reason why we are at work, the reason why we speak to other people, is because we want to release the sweet fragrance of Jesus. I want to ask You, Father, that Your grace will be upon each one of us as we experience the blessing of relationship with You, that Father God, we will be able to extend it even to one another and beyond this church to everyone that we are encountering. That people will be transformed by the image of Christ. And we pray that, Jesus, You will take Your rightful place again in our hearts, in our lives, in our homes, and in our workplace. We will not be afraid to speak about You. We will not be afraid to talk about Your goodness and Your faithfulness in our lives. Because You are faithful. And Jesus, we know that it was 6 days after the greatest revelation that Peter got. And that was the revelation of who you are. That you are the Son of Almighty God. And this morning we realize and we recognize that you are Lord over our lives, that you are the King above all kings, and that we can be bold in the streets and bold in our workplace because you're all powerful. And Jesus, this morning we surrender to that thought in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to ask you quickly before we leave that you just turn to the person next to you. And let's just pray for one another this morning for the fragrance of Christ. Is that all right? Before we leave, let's just trust God to grow in this revelation. Amen.